prospectively as it's already. Om Aginati Mirandasya Janan Janan Salapaya Saksu Samiritan Jena Tasmai Sri Grave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutare Sayam Rupakadamayam Dhadati Sapunamitam. Panchakalpatubhyascha Kripasindubhayubhyascha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavayam. We've been hearing Brahma's words to Lord Krishna, to little Lord Krishna, who was standing so beautifully before Brahma, but just a young boy. And Brahma's first prayers explained that there is so much, that Krishna's beautiful body is completely transcendental, actually. And he is unknowable through one's own power, his own power, Brahma is saying, but really through anyone's own capacity. Krishna is unknowable. So Brahma recommends a different way to know Krishna other than using one's own capacity. He recommends hearing about Krishna, staying in one's place, one's own situation, whatever situation one is in. The unconquerable Lord can be conquered. If one just simply hears about Krishna from the right source and accepts all one's fate and doesn't expend one's energy to change one's karma, just accepts it, sees Krishna's mercy in it. Because for a devotee, Krishna's mercy is what happens. That is what is. That's what's happening. It's Krishna's mercy, even though it appears as if it's one's karma. It's actually Krishna's mercy. So if one learns how to see Krishna in everything and hears about Krishna, all one has to do is remain alive, as the commentator said. Then one naturally, jivatayo muktipade sadayabhak, one inherits the kingdom of God naturally. But one has to give up the ascending method of understanding the absolute truth and adopt this other method, this descending method, born of shravana, of devotional service. So jnana is useless, yoga is useless to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, in the second set of texts, the text that we read yesterday, Brahma described how Krishna, everything is within Krishna. So Brahma is saying, if everything is within your abdomen, I am also there within your abdomen. And if I am there, that means I am like a child and you are my mother. So if I have kicked you, if I have kicked you due to my playing this prank of taking away the cowherd boys and the calves and hiding them somewhere just to see you, to inspire you, to demonstrate some of your potency. If I've done that, but it is, and it was improper, but it is just like the kicking of a child within the womb of the mother. Please don't take offense, as the mother doesn't take offense. Now, so many of the verses yesterday were on that point. Don't be offended by my activities. Your greatness, one who is so great, can't be upset by insignificant things. And what I've done compared to your greatness, I'm so insignificant, so how can an insignificant person do anything other than something that's insignificant? So therefore, you are so great, so therefore, please forgive me and do not take offense. These verses, the ones we shall attempt to read today, beginning with text 15, the last final text that we read yesterday was the 14, was that Narayana's Tom Nahi Savadeinam. Atma Svadisha Akila Loka Shakshi. That he explains that you are my father, actually. Lord, no, I am born from the lotus springing from Gavadakshaya Vishnu. I am born from that. And Gavadakshaya Vishnu is just your Anga. Narayana Anga. Narabhu Jalalayat. He is your Anga. He is your part. Expansion. So therefore, you are my father. And therefore, please, please forgive me. Others, everyone says, Aham Bijapada Pita, that God is the father of everyone. People will say that. But here is the direct relationship, Brahma says, between myself and yourself. I'm born from you. So now in this verse, in text 15, he's going to explain, Brahma is going to explain that the mystery of Krishna's unlimited transcendental form and personality. That he is unlimited and very mysterious. And his, Krishna's relationship to the material cosmos. So he explains in text 15, my dear Lord, if your transcendental body, which shelters the entire universe, is actually lying upon the water. So, let's conceive of this, picture this. That Krishna's transcendental body, speaking this to Krishna, was standing directly in front of him. Again, dressed very much like a forest boy. No shoes, his sparkling yellow as dhoti, his flute in his left hand, the buffalo horn and stick in the fold of his dhoti, wearing a garland of vanamala, forest flowers. And he's saying, your transcendental body, which shelters the entire universe, the universe is within that body that I'm seeing standing in front of me. If that transcendental body is actually lying on the water, then why were you not seen by me when I searched for you? This is described in the ninth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, how Brahma, the ninth chapter of the second canto of the Bhagavatam, how Brahma, after taking his birth from the lotus, he was lost. He was all alone, the first person within the universe, and the waves of this ocean, of the Govardhak ocean, were very dangerous. And he was trying to understand where he came from. He saw that there was a stem of a lotus. He was all alone. It was terrifying for him. So he tried to enter within the water, to enter the stem of the lotus, to find out its source, where he came from. Because if his reasoning was sound, I'm sitting on the lotus is coming from a stem. If I go to the source of the stem, then I'll see my source. But he couldn't find Krishna when he did that. Instead, he came in contact with the terror of Krishna's chakra, the time factor, which terrifies everyone ultimately when faced with annihilation due to the time factor. So he said, if your transcendental body is lying upon the water, you are Narayan, Narabhu Jalalayat, then how come I couldn't see you when I searched for you? And why, second half of, because he's making a comment here in the form of these questions, I couldn't see you when I searched for you. And why, though I could not envision you properly within my heart, did you then suddenly reveal yourself? Brahma performed tapasya. And then Krishna was pleased with him because that tapasya was in response to Krishna's own instructions. Tapa. perform austerities, and it was done to please Krishna. So it wasn't simply austerity. What Brahma did was devotion, devotional service, for it was enacted to please Krishna. So Brahma is saying, I searched for you and couldn't find you by my power, and why then, although I could not conceive of you, envision you properly within my heart, you then suddenly revealed yourself to me. You actually showed your position to me. You showed yourself, and you even shook my hand, actually, it describes in the Bhagavatam. By my power, I couldn't see you, but when you suddenly, you were there, visible to me. What is the mystery of this? We'll read the purport here. And it's clear, actually, that Krishna, and this is moving on in the philosophy, that Krishna's form, his position, is so powerful that he only reveals himself, he only displays himself to those whom he desires to show himself to. One cannot storm the gates of heaven and see Krishna. One has to simply, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, don't even try and see Krishna, but rather, what? Act in such a way that Krishna will see you. In other words, act sincerely with devotion so that Krishna sees you. Then, if and when he desires, he will show himself to you. Here's the purport. Lord Brahma here refers to his experience at the dawn of cosmic creation, as described in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Brahma took birth on the seed of a giant lotus whose stem emanated from the navel of Narayan. Brahma was bewildered as to his whereabouts, function, and identity, and therefore he tried to trace out the source of the lotus stem, searching for clear information. Unable to find the personality of Godhead, who indeed was his source, who was Gobadaksha Vishnu, he returned to his seat and engaged in severe austerities, having been ordered to do so by the transcendental voice of the Lord. After long meditation, thousands and thousands of celestial years, Brahma saw the Lord, but then again lost sight of him. Thus Brahma concludes that the transcendental body of the personality of Godhead is not material, but rather an eternal spiritual form endowed with inconceivable mystic potencies. In other words, Lord Brahma should not have challenged the personality of Godhead, who is the Lord of all mystic power. Because Brahma already knew that Krishna was inconceivable to him. He could not discover him, but yet when Krishna decided to appear, he instantaneously was there. So Brahma was explaining Krishna's position again. Text 16. Because Brahma is explaining that Krishna's form is transcendental, and this point has to deeply be embedded in our heart, because we have no conception in the material world of what a transcendental form is, because all the forms, all that we see, not just the forms of individuals, but everything has forms, has different forms. Everything has form, and all our experience of form is that they are material. So therefore, we shouldn't try to impose our concept of material forms, which by definition are limited, material forms are limited, upon Krishna's transcendental form, and also on Krishna's transcendental pastimes. And that is what Brahma was actually trying to do. He was imposing his limited conception, trying to understand Krishna's power and his pastimes, and the result was that he ended up himself being completely bewildered. So here he's saying your form is transcendental. It is beyond Maya. It is inconceivable. Can we conceive of something that is inconceivable? Obviously, if we can conceive of it, then it is not inconceivable because we've just conceived of it. So Krishna's form is inconceivable and unlimited. But yet, he's a form. He is a form. He has a form. He is a form. And his form contains all other forms. But yet his form is unlimited. So how do we know this is true? Brahma has already explained the methodology of knowing this, of realizing it. It is by hearing. It is not trying to figure it out with logic. By hearing, one can actually understand it. Here's the text. My dear Lord, in this incarnation, you have proved that you are the supreme controller of Maya. Although you are now within the universe, the whole creation is the whole universal creation is within your transcendental body. You demonstrated by exhibiting the universe, a fact you demonstrated by exhibiting the universe within your abdomen before your mother Yasoda. So let's hear this again, because the wording is important. My dear Lord, in this incarnation, you have proved that you are the supreme controller of Maya, that you are illusion's controller, and therefore my attempt to delude you, place you in illusion by stealing away the boys, was so foolish because you are the supreme controller of Maya. Now here's how you have proved it in your incarnation, this incarnation. Although you are now within this universe, was Krishna within the universe? Well, Brahma was speaking to him. Indeed, Brahma was the secondary creator of the universe. He knew everything within the universe, his universe, and he saw Krishna there talking to him in this universe. So he's within this universe, and yet the whole universal creation is within your transcendental body. So he's in the universe, and the entirety of this universe and so many other universes are within Krishna's transcendental body. He's in something that's within him. A fact you demonstrated by exhibiting the universe within your abdomen before your mother Yasoda. So this we heard earlier when mother Yasoda asked Krishna to open his mouth to see if Krishna had indeed eaten dirt, as Krishna's cowherd boyfriends were accusing him of. And Krishna opened his mouth, and what did Mother Yasoda see within? What did she see? All the universe, everything. And she also saw Krishna and her, and she herself within there. And she thought, am I dreaming? Is this some Devi Maya, some demigod's Maya? No, how could that be? I'm still awake. I couldn't be dreaming, and I've done nothing with the demigods. They have no business with me. Here's the purport here. Lord Brahma here describes the inconceivable potency of the Lord. We may find a pot within a house, but we can hardly expect to find that house within the same pot at the same time that the pot is within the house. You couldn't find the house within the pot at the same time. By the Lord's spiritual potency, however, he can appear within this universe and simultaneously exhibit all the universes within his body. So he's doing it. He is within the pot, and out, and the pot is within him. One may argue that since the universe is seen by Mother Yasoda within Lord Krishna's abdomen, or within the Lord's body, they are different from the illusory material universes manifested externally. They were spiritual because they were in Krishna. One can argue in that way. So they were different from the ones existing outside that Krishna was in. Here Lord Brahma refutes that argument, however. Lord Krishna is Maya Damana, the supreme controller of illusion. By the Lord's own supreme mystic potency, he can bewilder even illusion herself, and thus the Lord actually exhibited all the material universes within his body. This is Maya Twam, the supreme bewildering potency of the personality of God. It is inconceivable, yet he can do it. It is impossible, yet he can do it, because he is the controller of everything, including the illusory energy and yoga maya, which makes the impossible occur. We'll read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment on this. Or part of his comment, I believe. O supreme controller of illusion, Maya Dhamana. In order to show that the external universe also exists within your abdomen, not only the external universe that Krishna was within, he himself was within, also simultaneously was existing within Krishna's abdomen, you produced an illusion for Mother Yasoda. By the influence of your yogamaya potency, you appeared within this universe and simultaneously exhibited all the universes within your body. Similarly, though I am within your abdomen, I arose from your abdomen and I'm situated here. Thus, you are still my mother. So therefore, you should thus forgive me for my offense. 17. Because now he's continuing here. He's explaining that this point we must hear and digest as far as possible before hearing the other leelas, 10th canto leelas especially, is that despite Krishna's youthful appearance, again he's standing before Brahma with food in his left hand, some yogurt mixed with rice in his left hand, darkish color. Still, his body is inconceivably powerful, unlimitedly, unboundaried. Yet it's in form. This is by definition inconceivable. Just as this entire universe, including you, was exhibited within your abdomen, he himself was also within his own abdomen. What do you think about that? That's quite wonderful, isn't it? So it is now manifested here externally in the same exact form. How could such things happen unless arranged by your inconceivable energy? Short purport here. Srila Prabhupada's comments on this verse as follows. Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse as follows in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada's comment is, Lord Brahma stressed herein that without accepting the inconceivable energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot explain things as they are. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur will read some of his comment. The universe was there along with you. Can a reflection of a mirror be seen in a mirror? As the universe visible within your belly contained you, so the external universe also contained you. Because there was not even a trace of difference between the two universes, the one within you and the one outside of you. The universe within your belly could not exist without the work of Yogamaya. Taking your mother's realization and mine as proof, I conclude that I exist within you by your yogamaya potency. Therefore, I pray that you will please forgive me for my offense as a mother forgives her child who kicks her while residing in the womb. Text 18. Have you not shown me today that both you yourself and everything within this creation are manifestations of your inconceivable potency? First you appeared alone. This is speaking about chapter 13, where Brahma displayed himself as the cowherd boys, as four-armed Vishnu forms and the universes. So Brahma has seen this. First you appeared alone, and then you manifested yourself as all of Vrindavan's calves and cowherd boys, your friends. Next you appeared as an equal number of four-handed Vishnu forms, who were worshipped by all living beings, including me. And after that you appeared as an equal number of complete universes. Finally, you have now returned to your unlimited form as the Supreme Absolute Truth, one without a second. So what conclusion? So many conclusions we should be reaching as we hear this. But one of the conclusions is, we are so insignificant, and Krishna is unlimitedly powerful. And therefore what? What's the natural thing for one who is insignificantly small to do when confronted with one who is unlimitedly powerful? Yes, surrender, take shelter, and serve. Not become envious, compete with, and try to pull down. I remember the first time I read, it was Bhagavad Gita, but it wasn't Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, it was before Prabhupada's Gita was published, even it was before. Possibly before I was chanting. And I remember reading the Bhagavad Gita and thinking, this book is so wonderful, so powerful. I want to read it every day. But one thing, what right does Krishna have to say that he's God? I understood everything, except one little fact, which is everything. The difference between Krishna and the insignificant living entity is an unlimited difference. Anu and Vibhu, tiny and powerful. So therefore we, me and every jiva soul should place ourselves in Krishna's hands and lovingly serve him. BBT translators purport, headed by Vrindavananda Maharaj. As stated in the Vedic literature, sarvam kaloidam brahma, everything that exists is an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus everything is ultimately part and parcel of the Lord's spiritual existence. It's unavoidable, we are his part and parcel. By Lord Krishna's causeless mercy, we have a relationship with him. By Lord Krishna's causeless mercy, Lord Brahma personally experienced that all existence, being the potency of God, is none different from him. Read Krishna Chakravarti Thakur. Brahma continued, the universe you displayed within your belly, and the universe displayed outside that you showed to your mother, and all the unlimited universes passing in and out of the pores of your Mahavishnu form are produced by your material energy. And they are therefore designated as Mayaka. This I have already understood, but today I have realized the existence of thousands upon thousands of spiritual universes formed through your inconceivably powerful Sarup Shakti, internal energy. There is not one object that exists independent of you in the thousands of universes that you have shown today. For everything is emanating from you. This is God. This is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. O Krishna, Brahma continues, today you have shown me that both you yourself and everything within this creation are manifestations of your inconceivable potency. First you appeared alone, and then by your Surup Shakti you expanded as all the cowherd boys and calves of Braja. And these were not material expansions, they were spiritual expansions, because Baladev himself could not stop, he could not check them with his power. Next, by Yoga Maya, you covered all the cowherd boys and calves and revealed countless four-handed Vishnu forms, all composed of your Sarup Shakti. All these Vishnu Murtis were being worshipped by all conscious entities, from the blades of grass to all the Brahmas. After that you appeared as an equal number of complete universes. This is why Brahma is folding his hands in supplication. Then by your desire, Yogamaya covered all this and revealed the one form, Adhyam, who was the source of all that, which was Krishna's form, of the pure, perfect Brahman with immeasurable, incomparable beauty. That was Krishna, Param Brahma, Param Nama. For my benefit, you remain uncovered before my eyes through the potency of Yogamaya. So the source of everything is standing before Brahma. And what is Brahma seeing? Not an old man with a beard, but a beautiful cowherd boy. But he's understanding that this cowherd boy has inconceivable power, and there is so much difference, an inestimable difference between his body and mine in potency. Text 19, Brahma continues. To persons ignorant of your actual transcendental position, you appear as part of the material world, manifesting yourself by the expansion of your inconceivable energy. Thus, for the creation of the universe, you appear as me, Brahma. For its maintenance, you appear as yourself, Vishnu. And for its annihilation, you appear as Lord Trinetra. Trinetra means what? Three eyes. Lord Shiva. So when Lord Brahma creates and Shiva maintains, it is actually Krishna doing this through his potencies. He's working through them. Although the impersonal Mayavadi philosophers think that the demigods are illusory, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu are stated here to be expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are thus real. Indeed, they are the extraordinarily powerful controllers of the universe. It's Krishna's power. Just like the policeman has a power to do this and that, give out tickets, capture and arrest criminals, even shoot someone if they have to. They're given that it is the state's power that allows them to do that. They're invested with that power. So it is. So they cannot be disrespected. Disrespect to the police, for example, means disrespect to the state, and that lands one in difficulty. Because they are nothing but the power of the state. So similarly, Brahma, Vishnu, not Vishnu exactly, but Brahma and Shiva, they are Krishna's working in this world. They are not different from him. All the demigods are in that position. They are not different. So it is an offense to see the demigods as the same as Krishna, equal to, but it is also an offense to see them as independent of Krishna. The ultimate truth is a supreme and beautiful person, and thus throughout the creation of God we will always find the personal touch. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur to text 19 comments. Brahma prayed, not understanding anything about your transcendental position. The impersonalists think that you are simply material. That's what they think. The impersonalists think that when the impersonal form of Brahma comes to this world, he, affected by the mode of goodness, which is material, takes on the form of Ishwara. But otherwise, when the modes of nature are removed, he is formless. The Absolute is formless. So not understanding anything about your transcendental position, the impersonalists think that you are simply material, Mahamaya. Persons who think themselves learned but are ignorant of the path of bhakti say that you disperse yourself in the material energy by your own will, and though without form, you appear with a form in the material world. So, criticism of the impersonalists. For creation of the universe, you appear as me. For its maintenance, you appear as yourself, Vishnu. And for destruction, you appear as Shiva, Trinetra. Though you are without form, you take a form to appear in the material world as Vishnu, Brahman, Shiva. This is what the impersonalists say. You can worship Shiva, Yatamat, Tatapat. You can worship anyone. Especially they are fond of worshipping Lord Shiva, because ultimately beyond this form, it is all one. That's the philosophy. Thus the form of Narayan, situated in the Garbhodak ocean, and all the avatar forms are all composed of Maya. Your expansions as the calves, boys, and the four-handed form of Vishnu are all Maya. This is the conception, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, of the ignorant. So he's criticizing the impersonal conception. Text 20. Because everything to do with Krishna is transcendental, having nothing to do with the modes. Everything to do with Krishna has nothing to do with the modes of material nature. O Lord, O Supreme Creator and Master, you have no material birth. Yet to defeat the false pride of the faithless demons and show mercy to your saintly devotees, you take birth amongst the demigods, sages, human beings, animals, and even the aquatics. What is the name of Krishna's birth amongst the aquatics? What's the name of his birth amongst the animals? Human beings? Ramachandra, especially. Sages, Narayan. Demigods, Vamanadeva. So Krishna takes his birth, even though he's birthless, he's eternal. Ajopi sama vayama bhutanam isvaropi sam prakriti stama distaya sambhavam yapma mayaya. I come, even though I am birthless and eternal, I come in every millennium. How? By my own mercy, sambhavam yapma maya, by my own internal energy, through my own yoga maya. This is Krishna's births. And we've heard about these in the preceding, most of them in the preceding cantos. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. Brahma continued. You thus appear in various places in different avatar forms and also show your original form to prevent your devotees from being defeated by these mental speculators, the impersonalists. You appear in different avatar forms for the purpose of subduing the false pride of the non-devotees and to show mercy to your faithful devotees so that they can remember your blissful transcendental forms, qualities, and pastimes. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.35, the demigods prayed to Lord Krishna, to Krishna within the womb of Devaki, O Lord, cause of all causes, if your transcendental body were not beyond the modes of material nature, one could not understand the difference between matter and transcendence. Only by your presence can one understand the transcendental nature of your lordship, who are the controller, who is the controller of material nature. Your transcendental nature is very difficult to understand, unless one is influenced by the presence of your transcendental form. Because if all we have experience of is material, is matter, we will see we will conceive of the absolute truth as impersonal, non-material only. But having some experience of transcendence, and hearing the Acharyas who experience transcendence, and hearing Krishna's words, and the words of the Acharyas, and Brahma's words, then we can understand that Krishna's form is indeed transcendental, it is non-material, and without this difference between, without having some consciousness of the difference between Krishna's form and other forms, without the presence of Krishna's form, we would not be able to have a conception of spiritual form. Okay. 20. O Lord, O Supreme Creator and Master, you have no material birth. Oh, we just read this one. 21. O Supreme Great One, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Supersoul, Master of all mystic power, your pastimes are taking place continuously in the three worlds. But who can estimate where, how, and when you are employing your spiritual energy and performing these innumerable pastimes? No one can understand the mystery of how your spiritual energy works. Because Brahma has just seen Krishna playing as a cowherd boy with his cowherd boyfriends, and he's tried his best to interrupt the pastime, but he saw that the whole thing was actually going on by Krishna's spiritual energy. But one, it's interesting that one could think that therefore Brahma, who has knowledge now of understanding Krishna's spiritual, that all of Krishna's lila is spiritual, he knows it, he watches, this is all going on by Krishna's internal energy. So it would seem, because his knowledge is higher than that of the coward boys who aren't aware of it, they're just aware of Krishna and playing with him, one may think that his position is higher than theirs because his knowledge is superior. But actually it isn't. Because the coward boys, for example, and the cows who are immersed in the lila, their position is more intimate with Krishna, and therefore their position is more wonderful and it is higher. Because that knowledge, for us, for we in the material world, we need this knowledge to promote us to the beyond the level of misunderstanding and to the level of understanding janma karma samitibhyam evam yuvati tatvata, that Krishna's pastimes are all going on by the internal energy. But for the coward boys, they don't need that knowledge. They already have surpassed that. Itam satam brahma sukhana bhutya sakyam vicharu kita punja punja. They've already surpassed that. For thousands of births, they've surpassed the point of knowing and knowledge. And now they are qualified to enter into Krishna's pastimes and play with Krishna, as if Krishna was ordinary. Their love for him overpowers their knowledge of his opulence. So we'll read some of the comments of the Acharyas on this text, 21. But if this is Srila Sridhar Swami's comment, but if there is my independence, then why is my birth amongst the... this is Krishna's reply. If I'm independent, why do I take my birth amongst the contemptible species of fish and so on, as you've said? And why is such incarnation as that of Vamandev? In such incarnation as Vamandev, is there such a degradation as the indulgence, the need for begging? If I'm this person who's taken all these births, why do I take my birth in abominable species like fish and hogs, and as Vamandev I beg? How is that?
Why, moreover, in this present incarnation are there instances of me becoming fearful, running away, and so on? When did Krishna become fearful? In Damodar Lila. And he was crying in fear and rubbing his eyes and running away. So these questions, Krishna's questions in this regard, Srila Sridhar Swami says, are replied to by the verse beginning Koveti. Koveti means who knows? Because how is this possible? All these things. Who knows how and why Krishna does what he does? And therefore the seed of bhakti, the actual bhakti lata bees, is Shraddha. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, is faith. Because it is not possible to understand, not possible to understand these things. Bhaktimam abhijananti yamanyas tasmi tatvata. It is only by bhakti one can understand. Bhakti's basis is surrender. So by surrendering one can understand. And the tendency of a conditioned soul is, first let me understand, then I'll surrender. But bhakti doesn't work that way. First surrender and then understand. So therefore it requires, and it is based on faith. So who in the three worlds, in the verse beginning, Koveti, who knows, by suitable corresponding addresses, the fact of his being inconceivable is described in the words beginning, Bhumam. Who in the three worlds can understand your endeavors, your pastimes? Who can understand either where, how, when, or what to extent? The implication is that this is the inconceivable influence of your yoga maya. Sanatana Goswami says, but don't we find very mundane activities just like those of the jivas engaged in by some of your incarnations? That is replied to by the verse beginning, Koveti. O Bhumam, O unbounded one, O Bhagawan, O you who are endowed with all opulence, O Paramatma, O you who are hidden inside everyone. O Yogeshwar, O you who are capable of making possible the impossible. And these addresses, the greater and greater degrees of the Lord's excellence with each succeeding address in terms of his being inconceivable is to be deduced. Yogamaya is the particular energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that forms his pastimes of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Expanding that yogamaya implies that his pastimes are reality. And then finally, this is the last verse we'll read. And finally we'll read the comment of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Brahma prayed, you come as Ram to kill Ravana, and as Krishna to relieve the burden of the universe. Your white, red, black and Shama avatars appear to institute religion, not to defeat the philosophical wranglers. Actually, no one can fully understand where, when, why, and how you will appear. O unlimited Lord, cause of all causes, if your transcendental body were not beyond the modes of material nature, no one could understand the difference between matter and transcendence. Only by your presence can one understand the transcendental qualities of your Lordship, the controller of the material energy. O Supreme Great One, O Personality of Godhead, although you expand throughout the material universe, you are still full with six opulences. In other words, you yourself have not been dissipated by expanding everywhere. You yourself exist individually in form. Although you enjoy all opulences, you witness everything in your expansion as Paramatma. O Master of all mystic power, you display inconceivable powers by the agency of Yogamaya. Who can understand when, where, and why, and how your spiritual energy acts to display your transcendental pastimes within the three worlds? Your unlimited spiritual form is full of all opulences, because Brahma is experiencing this and he's just experienced it.
He thought that there's the coward boy and let me play a trick on him. But then, when Krishna displayed a fraction of his potency, he became overwhelmed with incredible awe and veneration, trembling, falling to the ground again and again, when witnessing just in some of the aspects of Krishna's potency. Your unlimited spiritual form is full of all opulences, and though it is not material, it exists everywhere in the material universe. That even is inconceivable. Krishna, there's nothing material about Krishna, yet the whole material world is none separate from him. This is a Chintyavada Veda. But how is it possible, he asks, to satisfy simultaneously all your devotees at all times with your transcendental pastimes? By your inconceivable energy, Yogamaya perfectly carries out the work of presenting different pastimes to your various devotees at the suitable time. Okay, thank you very much. I guess, any comments, questions? Also a Krishna. It's just Bhakti Mam Navidananti. Bhakti means surrender. That's how it needs to be. Otherwise, Yayatamam Papadyante, he won't show himself. So of course, if we say, from now on I'm going to surrender and put Krishna in the center, the strength of our mind isn't great enough to do something like that. So it's a gradual process. And one, that's why it describes in Nectar Devotion Bhaktivedanta Sindhu that if one is, it's not possible actually to do it in one life. And if one is doing it in one life, that means he's done it in previous lives or he's gotten some special mercy. But yet the other side is also given with Katvanga Maharaj, who inquired how long he has to live. And when he found out just a few moments, he immediately surrendered. So we shouldn't use that as an excuse. We should try our best and become serious. And try and like Brahma, beg for mercy.
This raises the question. It often comes up in theology, which is based on theology, generally the question of faith. To have some surrender, then you have to have
faith.
But then why does one Jiva have some faith and not Jiva doesn't have any faith? This is not just a question of Vaishnava theology, it's a question.
Yeah, so it's a comment.
It's a comment, but it's a question. So how do we deal with this question from the rise of any theology? Why? You're saying it's surrender that Krishna reveals himself. So to surrender.
Well, what's our answer to that? There are two answers. Huh?
Mercy?
No. Agyata Sukriti. That unknown agyata Sukriti, that one without faith, without knowledge, did service that one did. And that builds up until it becomes full of knowledge. Until that's where the source of that faith is. And that type of faith is agyata sukriti, then there's a kind of faith which you could say is religious piety, and that calls one into the association of devotees. And by hearing shastra in the association of devotees, one's faith increases. That's the process.
Is agyata sukriti a chance? Because it's struggling, like sometimes, so you go on Harinam, people are drunk and start chanting along with you, but not only is it drinking.
Well, Mahaprabhu is Patita Pavane Tava Avatar Mosama Patita Prabhu Napai Vayara. But it's not all. That's not the only qualification for chanting. I mean, other people.
But is it just for you just to chant?
Who Krishna arranges chances for people. That's actually, Prabhupada uses the word chance. He actually arranges chances for people. And then sometimes there's an exercise of free will. If someone is pious, one will take advantage of the chance that Krishna has arranged. Some people, when they hear the drum of the Harinam, they'll run the other way. And some people aren't pious, aren't spiritual, but think, I can't be bothered running away. So there's not an aversion. But then there are people who are actually pious who become attracted.
Sometimes it's said that the devotional service that we perform in very high definitions is also somewhat agyata, because we're very much unconscious of what we're doing.
That's usually not what I've never heard that. Because there's a conscious. Agyata means you really don't know anything about devotional service, that it's devotional. It's not like a conscious choice, I'm going to try and perform some devotional service. We maybe don't know everything, but we're sitting here because we consciously want to be taking a conscious step.
Bhakti Sukriti then?
Yeah, that's increasing one's bhakti sukriti. Because hearing is bhakti, it is bhakti, and it's a conscious choice that people make to hear. Or to chant, or to bring something for the deities to come to the temple. Even the someone who comes to the temple on a festival day, that's not agyata. Choosing to come on a festival day, there's some knowledge, may not be full knowledge, and maybe only 1% devotee or 0.5%, but it seems to have arisen to the point past agyata. Agyata sukriti means you see, you hear the Harinam when you're going by shopping. Or Prabhupada even once said that the people who built the building that was later used for a temple, it was going to be used in Krishna service 50 years after they're dead. They get some agyata sukriti for that. It may be very, very, very distant. It may be a speck, but it's something, and gradually those specks add up.
In case of?
But he's already a devotee in Brahma. He's already a devotee. And his surrender deepened, one can say. And that it's not that one surrenders and it's done with. Okay, what's the next thing? I've surrendered now. No, one's surrender continuously deepens forever and ever and ever, because surrender is shifted to love.
So,
but pure bhakti means I place myself in Krishna's hands. Brahma has, not that he's not pure, but because this is happening by Krishna's arrangement ultimately. This is Krishna's. Like Krishna, after explaining the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Sarvadhamam Pratyaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja. So he's explaining everything, who he is, and he's giving knowledge.
And then he's requesting every living entity to surrender based on that knowledge. If there's no knowledge, you're right, why would you surrender to Krishna unless you understand who he is? But the deeper understandings will come in response to surrender. How much you give yourself to Krishna. Yeah, and it keeps increasing. That's my understanding. Knowledge, realization, yeah, and that impels us to surrender still further and more deeply, more completely. Knowledge born of experience. Oh, Krishna has protected me. I've tried. I'm surrendering to Krishna. I'm trying to do what will please him. And I see that it's, perceive his hand upon my shoulder. He's there. So therefore, that knowledge of experience, especially experienced knowledge, comes through surrender. Varadev appeared at a certain particular time, but there's no mention. There was a time when there's no mention of when Matsya appeared. Nrisimhadev appeared at a particular time. Ramachandra appeared at a particular time. Korma, we don't celebrate the appearance of this korma, our cooking korma, we do, but some years. And guess who's cooking the feast, Korma? You are. Would you like to celebrate the appearance day of Matsya? Avatar? Yeah. There are some places where Matsya is worshipped, yes? Somewhere? In South India somewhere? South, maybe. Have you been south? You're from north.
Yeah.
You're from north only.
I've been south, but that doesn't mean that I've seen everything.
Yeah. But.
Do you have any particular example in yourself? Just by guess. Too hard.
How about Vamandev? The temples where Vamadeva is worshipped? Where?
Yes, I mean there's one very big one. Yeah, he's going to support from his head of
Bali.
Yeah, I did get one.
Where?
Kalimantu.
Kondator. Vamadeva. And of course, in the Srinidhi, there's so many temples. You've seen in the Torah? Oh, it's already past 8, so let's stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai, Lord Brahma's prayers ki jai, Sri Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead ki jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. There's Matsya Shilas, for sure. Yeah. I know someone who has one.